69. It had taken Welled far too long to decide he hated the ocean. He had volunteered for this duty, sailing the Putronaut A-16 from Bilming to Ellendale, because he'd figured it would be the safest. On a giant ship made of steel? The biggest the world had ever seen? Protected by the thick hull from enemy bullets? He figured that at least, once the war started, he'd be aboard the most indestructible ship ever built. Yes, they were going to engage Ellendale, but he'd prefer that to being in Bilming where that crazy lawman swooped around. But now, here he was, the familiar glow of Bilming retreating in the distance, ordered to keep watch on the deck as they steamed across the choppy waters. Keep watch for what? There was nothing out here but churning froth and mist. They were even cutting lights on the ship, now that they were out of the bay and beyond any other vessels they might hit. He'd thought that sailing out on the ocean would be serene, but not tonight. The crash of waves, the thrum of engines, and other phantom noises from out there somewhere. Splashes that didn't match the flow of the water. Distant screeches that might have been gulls, only what gulls screeched at night? Spooked by the sounds, he slid open the hood on his lantern. Unfortunately, that just lit up the mists, making a blazing halo around Welled. He couldn't make out much of the waters. The ship's deck was pretty high up in the air. When he'd signed on, he hadn't realized how intimidating it would be to look down. It was like he was atop a three-story building, the water all the way below.
"What are you doing?"
a harsh voice said from behind. "Gabria?" The more senior sailor took him by the arm and quickly closed the lantern's hood.
"Didn't you hear the order? Once we're out of the bay, we're running dark. Do you want Ellendale to be able to target us?"
"I thought I heard something," Welled said, prying his arm free.
"I'm on watch. Aren't I supposed to watch for things?"
"If you hear something suspicious," she said, "report it. Don't open your lantern unless absolutely necessary. Didn't you listen to the briefing?"
"Sure I did," he said, though his mind did tend to wander.
"Why are you wearing a life jacket?" she asked. "That wasn't ordered."
"I want to be safe," he said.
"Hey, Gab, what are you going to do with your reward?"
With the lantern shielded, he couldn't see her in the darkness. But she seemed to stare at him for an uncomfortably long time. Was he missing something?
"Reward?" she said.
"Sure," he replied.
"The great reward we were promised. For this mission."
"Welled, what do you think we're doing?"
"Delivering a payload," he said, "to Ellendale. It's a weapon, right? We drop it off, then we get out of there."
Another uncomfortable pause.
"Yes," she said. "Get out of there. That's right. But I'm not doing it for the reward."
He should have expected that. The others, well, they were all a little bit more diligent about all of this. Trell, the impending war with Ellendale. They'd have probably volunteered for this mission, even if it hadn't been aboard a giant, indestructible warship.
"Keep that lantern shielded," Gabria said. "And fetch me if you hear or see something suspicious. Credibly suspicious."
She stalked off across the deck, leaving him alone with the cold mists and indifferent waters. He was supposed to patrol, but they hadn't given him a specific route. So, after listening to those waves and feeling like he could hear the darkness watching him, he walked in the direction Gabria had gone. Logically, he'd need to stick close to...
What was that?
That thump against the hull surely hadn't just been his imagination. He was near the back of the ship.
The aft of the ship, sir.
And the sound had come from farther along. He inched forward, wielding his lantern in a shaking hand. Even shielded, it let out a tiny bit of light, letting him better make out the ship's back railing.
"That noise was nothing," he told himself forcibly.
"You heard things in the mists. Everyone knew that." He shouldn't say anything, because Gabria had... A hand reached up from the darkness below and seized the top bar of the railing. A shape followed, pitch black, vaguely human, heaving itself onto the deck. It had
tentacles waving behind it, 100 of them curling like the mists. In that shadow, Wellard saw a misbegotten shape, a thing that wasn't human, a thing that couldn't be human. The mists seemed to know this, for while they played with the waving tentacles, they stayed away from the figure. It repelled the mist. It was a mist wraith, Wellard knew. A terror from the deep, a relic of ancient times, a thing of stories and legend come to claim his soul. He found his voice and screamed. With fumbling fingers, he threw open the shield and the lantern, bathing the deck in light, revealing a man. Tall, with prominent sideburns, his vest and cravat peeking from underneath a thick duster, mist coat tassels spraying out behind him in the wind. Dawnshot was here, on the ship! Gabria spun from farther down the walkway. Well, Ed, why? She cut off immediately, seeing Dawnshot there. She gaped long enough for a second man to climb up over the railing, land with a thump, then pull on a damp bowler hat. No, Gabria finally said. How? Dawnshot flung wide his mist coat, revealing what had been obscured before. A large metal spike protruding from his lower chest, where it had been pounded right through his clothing to pierce him directly between two ribs. Slowly, awareness returned to Telson. She found herself on the rooftop near her failed decoy. Even before Wax's arrival, she'd been worried. Autonomy's deadline was today. Maybe she could have gotten more time, made the rocket work, except for him. She growled softly and rolled over to find one of the engineers shaking her arm. What had happened? Her investment from Autonomy should have prevented a blackout like that. She felt wrung out, her core cold, her arms sore from scraping the rooftop, her skin clammy. Rusts. She felt practically mortal again. What is happening? She asked Autonomy. You, the distant, too distant voice said, are failing me. No, the bomb is being delivered. I'm... For the first time, she took in the wreckage around her. A broken rooftop, bent steel girders, a smashed remnant of her missile launching construction. What happened? She hissed. They took spikes from the bodies, the woman said, pointing. Ordinary ones, not made of your metal, but one granted Duralumin. No. Telson heaved herself to her feet and stumbled to the edge of the building to stare out over the bay. The force of Wax's push had bent and crushed the very underlying girders of the skyscraper here, leaving the rooftop cracked and sloped. Your failure begins, Autonomy said, voice increasingly distant. You are not worthy. The fire inside Telson died. The power that had for so many months warmed her was leaching away. Her skin began to turn gray. No, she thought. No! The bomb cannot be stopped. If they interfere, they will destroy themselves and the city. Potentially both cities. Rusts. We shall see. Telson gasped and fell to her knees, trying to reassure herself. It was just Wax. He'd been an annoyance since childhood, but he'd never actually interrupted anything she'd set in motion. Honestly, he probably hadn't even reached the ship. A jump like that was nearly impossible, and his aim wasn't that good. Was it? Wax downed a vial of metals from his belt, replenishing his steel. That jump had been incredible, with Wayne on his back, a flash of rushing wind and power reminiscent of holding the bands of morning. He had barely made it to the ship after slowing their final approach with Allomancy, eventually landing them near some portholes a few feet below the open deck. He expected to get an earful for making Wayne climb the rest of the way. A sailor reached for her gun and Wax for his own, but before either of them could draw, Wayne flung a handful of bullets into the air and pushed them to streak through the air, dropping the woman. Rusts, Wayne said. Is that what it's always been like for you? That was so easy. Wayne eyed him. Gotta be honest, almost ruined your reputation, mate. If people knew how easy being a coin shot was,
They'd all stop talking about how great you are.
Wax shook his head, pointing vindication at the second sailor, the trembling one holding up the lantern. Wayne had, of course, insisted on a spike for himself. Ruin. Wax hoped what they'd done hadn't been too blasphemous.
No, Harmony's voice said in his head. Not blasphemous, Waxillium. More a sense of industrious recycling.
Good to know, Wax muttered.
I cannot see where the bomb is, Harmony told him. I can see only what you do. I didn't know the ship was the delivery mechanism, but I am afraid the device will have redundancies and dead man's switches. Take care. We cannot afford to detonate it by accident. I fear that even at this range, it would be deadly to many innocent people.
Strange. He'd come all the way around to finding God's voice in his head comforting again. Wayne seized the fellow with the lantern by the arm, holding tight and staring him in the eyes, though the man didn't seem to need any further intimidation.
The bomb, Wax said. Where is it?
The payload? The man stuttered, then pointed to a nearby door. In the munitions hold. All the way down. Follow the red lines painted on the walls.
Wax shared a glance with Wayne, then nodded.
You can't go inside, the man said. The weapon is fragile and might explode, so only the experts are allowed to touch it. You'll blow up the entire ship.
Then, mate, Wayne said with a drawl, I suggest you find a way to not be on the ship anymore. Real fast.
Wayne let go. The nervous fellow glanced from Wax to Wayne, then, with a sense of panic, threw himself off the ship into the churning waters below, taking his lantern with him and leaving the two of them in darkness.
Damn, Wayne said. I meant for him to find a lifeboat or something.
The people on this ship are going to be zealots, Wax said, considering they're on a suicide mission.
Shouts from farther along the deck, including other lanterns being unshuttered, indicated that someone had noticed what was happening. With increasing urgency, Wax led the way to the metal door the man had indicated. A push slammed it open, revealing a stairwell to the decks below. He surprised several sailors coming up, armed with rifles. They didn't get a chance to fire before Wax dropped them. He then soared to the landing. This entire ship was metal, steps included. It made for some easy... Wayne crashed down beside him, thanks to a maladroit steel push. He scrambled back to his feet.
That part's harder than it looks, Wayne admitted. You sure you got my spike in the right spot, mate?
I studied the Lord Mistborn's book thoroughly over the years, Wayne, he said. If I'd placed the spike wrong, you'd be in an extreme amount of pain.
Wayne grunted, then grabbed one of the rifles from the fallen sailors. He nodded to Wax and, despite calling for the sailors to surrender, they had to shoot a few on their way down. Following the red lines, they reached a small hold labeled Munitions Dump.
Someone really ought to explain, Wax thought, unlocking the door and slipping the key into his pocket, that leaving a guard outside with the key is a terrible practice.
He stepped over the body of the guard and joined Wayne inside the room. It was square, perhaps 30 feet across, and had three very large barrel contraptions, covered in wires, maybe 5 feet tall, near the center, spaced about 5 feet from one another. There was another device on the far wall, also rigged with wires, these leading to the three barrels. There were no obvious timers, control panels, or anything of the sort. It was, frankly, baffling.
Careful, mate, Wayne said as he inspected the contraption. Be real careful.
It's some kind of dead man's rig, Wax said. These three barrels are the explosive devices, each with its own power source. Disarm one and it will send a signal to detonate the other two via that contraption on the wall. Wayne, tell me you still have those schematics?
Course I do, Wayne said, digging in his pocket. Got lots of interesting stuff in here.
He pulled out the schematics Wax had given him, then spread them out on the floor.
You are right, Harmony said in Wax's head, processing the information far faster than he could. Actually, it's worse than you think. The control device is sending a pulse every 20 seconds to the three barrels, telling them not to detonate. If that stops, they'll go off. That is combined with a dead man's rig. If something happens to one of the bombs, the other two will detonate. Even if we had three people, one disarming each barrel at the same time, it wouldn't work. The timing is too precise for humans. You'd end up detonating two of the bombs.
How much destructive power are we talking about? Wax asked, folding out the bomb schematics. What if we set a charge, get out of here, and let it blow in the middle of the ocean?
Waxillium? Wayne, Harmony said, and Wayne perked up, apparently hearing the conversation too. This is a new kind of explosive, the direct transformation of matter into energy. I don't think Autonome or her agents understand how destructive this is. Looking at this, and how much metal they've used, I suspect they severely underestimated this bomb's power. If we were simply talking about harmonium blowing up when combined with water, then yes, you could detonate it safely out here in the ocean. But a blast caused by splitting harmonium with trellium? My friends, I have no idea how much power that would release. I can't exactly be sure what will happen if something this powerful is ignited. It could set the very atmosphere ablaze. If not, it would potentially vaporize not just Ellendale and Bilming, but many cities nearby as well. Your sister is desperate, and Autonome is callous. I doubt they tested anything on this size or scale in those caverns. We can't let this explode. But I also can't see a way to disarm it.
Wayne whistled softly. Wax carefully backed away, not touching any of the wires. The only safe thing to do would be to get this ship, and everything it contained, as far from civilization as possible. So, Wayne said, guess we get to steal a ship, eh? That's new,